It's a privilege and a blessing to be here to just kind of share a little bit of an insight into just how we've been able to use rap in gospel ministry. And I'd apologize from the outset, and you know, the Lord knows how to deal with our pride, right? We had some technical difficulties, and the projector won't play our Mac. And so that's a warning probably for all of you who are thinking about buying a Mac. And a cheer for all of you who are diehard PC guys. Amen, Duncan. And so we've had to just kind of convert everything to run on PowerPoint. You can take that cap off, bro. Thank you. So thank you for your help. Now, basically, we have been involved in using music for about 15, 16 years, using rap in particular, in terms of gospel ministry. We started out basically going into schools and doing a lot of street ministry, going into prisons. In fact, most of our ministry was initially in prisons. The first event we'd done was in Feltham Young Offenders. And we figured that, you know, we weren't really that good, and so having a captive audience would probably help. And so the Lord really kind of helped us to grow in our use of the gift and the tool of using rap. And then much later on, we set about developing a ministry team, which we called Urban Mission. And it was only much later that we found that that term was current, like commonly used in some evangelical circles with regards to mission in urban contexts. And so I kind of felt a bit like, oh, maybe we should have chosen a different name just to be a bit more distinct. But the organization is called Urban Mission, and we do Urban Mission. And yeah, it's a blessing to be able to kind of just give you a little insight. Bro, maybe open us in prayer.
One, two. Father, thank you so much again just for the privilege of being here. Thank you, Lord, for your great love towards us. We pray that you continue to bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we declare humbly that you are here.
We recognize you.
We raise our praise to your name.
Hallelujah.
We come to represent you with no shame.
Because we love you.
Yeah, because we love you. Lord, we declare humbly that you are here.
We recognize you.
We raise our praise to your name.
Hallelujah.
Come to represent you with no shame
because we love you. Yes, Lord. We love you.
Lord Jesus, you're the King and you reign over everything. Nothing is impossible to you, not even anything. Forever never perishing, your beauty never blemishing. You are the song that we sing when we're worshiping. Your word is nourishing and your kingdom's ever flourishing. Eternal, never finishing, never ever diminishing. I'm relishing my relationship, daily cherishing through fellowship. My thirsty soul, you're replenishing. Lord, because you're just, sin and lust, you'll be punishing. Astonishing how man rejects the admonishing, but knees will be knocking, hard nuts will be cracking and trembling. All high hills, you'll be leveling. Man's long list of shortcomings, you'll be measuring and threatening. Overdrawn accounts, you'll be settling. Prodigal sons and lost souls, you'll be beckoning and tethering, and then we'll welcome them into the brethren.
Lord, we declare humbly that you are here. We recognize you. We raise our praise to your name. Hallelujah. Because we come to represent you with no shame. Lord, we love you. Yes, Lord, we love you. And from Bronx to Brixton, Kendry to London Piccadilly, this is for those street cats and ill billies and politicians up on Parliament Hill. For real, we come to share the word of God no matter how they feel. Because nothings are a shame in a nation that claims to profess the Lord's name. Like how in universities and in the high schools, they do ban the Bible and say it's for fools and yet still choose to be preaching all that speculation, natural selection, instead of Jesus' resurrection. It takes more faith to believe in evolution. It's a theory whose evidence has been disproven. Man's philosophies ain't nothing but profanity. Without no absolutes, we only breed immorality. And depravity, anarchy within humanity. Godlessness is the root of all insanity. But great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh before enough witnesses. Beneath the cross, Darwin's wisdom ain't but foolishness. Because it can't give us purpose, hope, or righteousness. Oh yes, our faith has sure evidence. Jesus rose on the third day like sweet-smelling incense. To the deceived, he's a stench. To those who believe and receive and repent, He is a life-giving fragrance. Lord, we declare humbly that you are here. We recognize you. We raise our praise to your name. Hallelujah. We come to represent you with no shame because we love you. Amen. Now, praise God. Just to give you a real brief history, 15 years we started, about 7 years ago, having been going into schools on a modular basis, going in and doing assemblies, and basically at that time, there was no one who was really kind of had the vision to support us in terms of using rap. It was one of those kind of things that was seen as unacceptable, non-admissible in terms of ministry. And so we would just work two jobs and buy equipment and work part, take our annual leave and then go in and do assemblies and do missions weeks in schools. And as things progressed, thankfully the Lord helped us and we were able to get more support and more encouragement along the way. And having been going into schools doing mission weeks on a part-time basis and on a modular basis, we were invited by a local school in Lewisham to come in and be on staff full-time. Now, that was to come in and be on staff full-time rapping, basically. So we were going to hardly turn that down. But it was an amazing ministry opportunity that the Lord had afforded us. We found that the school was in a situation where they had been under the threat of closure for 11 years. It was pretty much the worst school in London, statistically speaking. And at that point, when they invited us to come in, they had 6 months left before Ofsted pulled the plug. And they had a kind of a remedial rescue team in there to try and see if it can be turned around. And they brought us in as part of that team. And when they put us on the timetable, they just called us Urban Mission. So kids would come out of maths and English and, you know, go into Urban Mission. And I don't know how that worked, but it seemed to, you know, it made sense in the context at the time. And when they would come in with us, we would use music as a mentoring tool, if you like, to help build relationship with these young people and help address the issues of their mindset and their view of life. And so we say, look, you know what, we're going to work with you guys and we're going to help you to write songs and put on performances. And they're like, yeah. But we got some ground rules. We got some, you know, from the outset, we're telling you how we work because we're Christians and this is how we do things. And so we were able to establish our identity and our principles from the outset. And we said, okay, so anything that we're going to do is strictly radio edit, strictly constructive. No talking about guns, no talking about shanks being in knives, no talking about disrespecting women or shotting drugs, selling drugs. No talk like that in the music. And they were silent. And they kind of just folded their arms and said, well, what are we going to do then? And so we rubbed our hands in glee at that point. Because we realized, okay, well, obviously we got our work cut out, but it's a great opportunity. And we began to help them to kind of just reevaluate their view of life, being able to instill godly principles, able to help them to know how to talk about those things without glorifying it, to be, you know, objective in a true sense, rather than promoting. And so, you know, we'd be able to use examples of maybe the way in which the news might report these issues in communities and look at the fact that, you know, actually they don't glorify it. They will report it. And everyone's got a bias. And so we're able to talk about that kind of approach. And we kind of focused on three things. We focused on their content as being the primary thing. What are you saying? And we then were able to kind of focus on the creativity. How are you going about saying this? And that was really the draw. That was the bait. You know, they all wanted to rap. They all wanted to get on the mic and be like their favorite rapper. And yet, we then were able to emphasize character and say, you know, you see these guys and they're up there on TV and so on, but what kind of character have they got? And you've got guys getting arrested and so on and so forth. And so, by means of that, which in your minds you may be thinking, well, that's not really gospel ministry. You know, that's good social action, and there's a lot of that goes on but we need more gospel ministry. But that opened the door for gospel ministry in a way that we had never expected and had never experienced. And so, because of the love that we showed and the fact that we kind of related to where they were at and they related to where we were at, we then had the opportunity just to testify. And lunch times would come at the end of a lesson, and normally, you know, they're out the door before the end of the lesson, before the pips go. And 10 minutes after the pips, they're still sitting there and still talking about this and still wanting to see this next video and whatever. And we're like, but guys, it's lunchtime. We don't like the food anyway. It's all right. And we'd be able to be there and just share the gospel. And as a result, we have seen numerous come to faith in Christ. We've had the pleasure and privilege of baptizing some ourselves, and seeing others go off into other church ministries and get plugged in and give their life to Christ. And so, a couple principles that we kind of have learned along the way. One is just the principle of relating. There has been in the past much talk about the need to make the gospel relevant, and I never did really understand that, because relevance suggests that it's irrelevant in order to make it relevant. And I'm like, when was, you know, life and death not relevant to anyone? And so the gospel is obviously relevant to all people. Now, I can understand the sentiment in terms of being able to connect with people and for it to mean something to them. But we definitely felt that it was actually more about being relational and less about being relevant. Because the message of the gospel, which is what we're trying to connect people with, is always relevant to all people everywhere. And so the bigger challenge was, how do they relate to us and how do we relate to them and build a relationship in order for them to find the gospel accessible through our lives? And so we realized that was the challenge. The aim became, be relational, in order for those revelational opportunities to be created. And there were, again, for the sake of time, just breeze through these. In the life of Christ, we see some examples of this. Jesus spoke in parables. And in Mark 4, 33, 34, it says that he only spoke in parables to those who were outside, and he only interpreted to those who were inside. And if you think about, I mean, you look at many of the parables, they're just, you know, earthly stories of a spiritual import. But if you just took them on face value without the interpretation, what would somebody be left with? The parable of the sower. Someone goes to seed, sows seeds, and these are the responses, and that's the end of the story. Now you say, just on that basis, imagining that we don't have insight to the interpretation of that parable, what is a person left with? They're left with a story about a guy who went to sow seed. And so those people who were not receiving interpretation, that's what they would have been left with when they walked away. But it was sufficient for those who had ears to hear to provoke and stimulate within them a desire to understand. And so we realize that it's a very relational tactic in the sharing of the gospel. It wasn't headlights on full blast in people's faces constantly, but there was that baiting in a kind of fishing analogy. In John 6, we see the hordes who had recently been fed from among the 5,000. They come across the Sea of Galilee and they find Jesus, and they're like, Jesus, when did you get over here? As if they weren't looking for him. And he was like, yeah, okay, look, I know that you guys have come for the food. That's what you've come for. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, you guys only wanted the food. And even at the time when Jesus was feeding them, he knew that there would be those who only wanted the food, and yet he fed them. But it then provided a revelational opportunity on the other side of the Galilee for those that sought after him, for him to say, well, look, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part in me. Ooh. And not many stayed, even to the point where the disciples were, boy, And Jesus is like, are you guys going to duck out as well? Well, where can we go, Lord? You got the words of life. And so it was a challenging revelation, but his feeding of them created an opportunity for that to happen. So again, we saw the feeding as a relational act. And again, we know one of the names of the Lord was friend of sinners. And he was deemed guilty by association. And so again, we see that relational dynamic of Jesus relating to the people in their context in a way that was accessible to them, providing opportunity for revelational proclamation of the gospel. Life of Paul. And again, I'll breeze through and I'll probably just focus on one. 1 Corinthians 9:19-22, very familiar passage. Paul stating that all things to all men, and he became as a Jew, and he became as one under the law, and he became as one who was lawless. And one of the things that was highlighted for me there was that evidently he made attempts to put himself in a place where relationally he could connect. And yet he didn't lose his identity and his distinction as a Christian. He didn't say, I became lawless. So I started driving around the estate in a stolen car in order to get credibility. Or I was down the pub drinking and getting off my face in order to get in with the guys. He didn't become lawless. But he became as one that was lawless. And for the Corinthians, he had to kind of clarify, look guys, you know what? I wasn't without law because I'm under law under Christ. But, you know, he put the disclaimer in there. But think about what does that mean? What does it look like for the Apostle Paul to become one and as one who is lawless? I mean, I thought about that. What does that look like in practice? To become as one who... Now, I know that in hip-hop culture, you kind of go through different fashion phases. And there was a fashion phase which is still kind of... petering out, is kind of morphed, where guys would wear their jeans
real low,
and they'd wear their jeans real low, and initially it was really baggy jeans, and nowadays guys are still walking around like that, the jeans are a bit tighter, but there are often times when you see more than you actually want to, and this is somewhat of an eyesore, an offense to many decent people. It's like, pull your trousers up, guy. I mean, I've seen guys without no word of a lie, trousers kind of sagging, and they're running for the bus, and their trousers are coming down around their ankles. It's very unfortunate. But now, I wonder to myself, the Apostle Paul, if he was amongst such people, would he have maybe put on a little longer t-shirt? And had his trousers. What does it look like to become as one who is lawless? And so, again, we see a practical expression of that in the book of Acts, where Paul, obviously a Jew by birth and culture, shaved his hair and took a vow of, was it purity, I think? And in doing so and encouraging Timothy to be circumcised and so on. Doing so was, again, trying to reduce the cultural barriers, enabling him to connect. He quoted the poets in 1728, quoted one of the Greek poets in his attempts to establish common ground. And I've heard people say, well, Paul missed it. I say, you're a better man than me if you're going to say that, looking at the inspired text, Paul missed it. But I can just see that it made sense in the context. And so, various ways in which we see that in the life of the Apostle Paul. Okay, over to you, bro. Amen.
I'm jump up here. I have minus 10 minutes. So, I'm going to stick to my notes. Now, articulate. A stands for articulate, which is the A in rap. And essentially, it means to express or communicate using language. It means to pronounce. It means to speak clearly. It's an ideal gospel medium, that is rap. Because the fundamental, essential elements of rap are words. Therefore, leading and lending itself efficiently for gospel use. Slidey. Rap is wordy and it's contentful. Here's an example of what we mean by that. I'm going to play you a song. I think I left the iPod just on the side there, Duncan. If you could just plug it in, bro. It's right there. This song is called Context, and it's by a guy that we're familiar with who comes from the States. I'm not going to be able to play the whole song again because time is against us, but I'd like you to listen and look at the words. They're on the next slide. To just how we can jam-pack into one song words that are ultimately power-packed with the gospel. Have a look at and listen to this.
Yeah, what's up with you, man? Oh, what's up with you, bruh? Yeah, I noticed you reading your Bible and everything. That's raw. Oh, amen, bruh. But I just want to know, have you ever heard of hermeneutics?
Hermeneutics?
Yeah, hermeneutics.
Nah, what's that, man?
Well, that's just simply the art and science of biblical interpretation.
Okay.
And it's very beneficial if you learn how to do it, you know what I'm saying?
The first task of the interpreter,
that's you.
It's called exegesis.
Extra Jesus.
Nah, I said exegesis, man. It's a Latin word, don't be scared. Matter of fact, I laughed when I first heard it too. It's spelled E-X-E-G-E-S-I-S. Guarantee you learn this process and you'll be blessed. Exegesis is the careful, systematic study of scripture for the Christian. This should be your habit. But to discover the original intended meaning of the author to his audience is exegeting. But to do this, man, you need some tools. So let me recommend a couple of things you should use. Aight? Cool. First, man, you need this book. It's called a commentary, and it helps you to further look into some essential things that you need to check in order for you to properly interpret the text. With this skill, this should keep you from heresy. Keep you from going through theological therapy. Yeah. The words of God will change your life if you read context. With this skill, this will keep you from heresy. And keep you from going through theological therapy. Yeah. The words of God will change your life if you read
context.
Yo, you need some more books.
Now,
yeah, I know it's getting scary.
See, it's good, right? Amen. Now, very, 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 very wordy. Lending itself to the communication of a message. And that song, obviously, it's not just wordy. The song is actually about the word. And so we see that rap is a really wonderful tool that we can use in order to communicate. Next slide, E. Metaphors and similes. Rap is well known for utilizing these two things. Now, a metaphor is an analogy between two objects or ideas. And it's conveyed by the use of one word instead of another. And it illuminates truth to the hearer by giving those comparisons. And again, it makes the gospel accessible when you're able to communicate something that the person doesn't necessarily know what you're talking about, but you communicate it in terms that they understand, and then it brings clarity. There's a friend of ours who goes to our church, his name's Jahaziel. He's got a lyric in one of his songs, and it goes, "They call me Santa on wax. Because, as you can see, I bless them with God's presence when they unravel my raps." Now, that's clever. And it's a way of communicating truth in ways that people can find very accessible. We see the Lord Jesus, as Ephraim mentioned, and the Apostle Paul doing this quite consistently with regards to analogies particularly. Because it crosses language barriers. See, it utilizes cultural references in the same way the Lord used parables. Now, here's another example. This is fantastic. It's called Internet Rap by a guy called Shylin, a friend of ours who's from Philly. And this one's really short, so I'm going to take the liberty to play you all of this. It's really short. It's only about a minute and a half. Have a look at this and listen and look at the way that this brother uses analogies, the way that he uses similes, and he uses just a really clever, unique, and technique in communicating truth. Listen and watch this.
Once again, DJ Essence. figure that out. Thanks, bro. Fantastic use of similes and metaphors. Amazing. The other real quick thing I'd like to share is that short stories are very similar to what you see in a 3-minute rap. Everybody loves a short story, an interesting story. And the wonderful thing about music and stories, once they're combined, is they're very memorable. I think that's the way the children of Israel used to remember the Psalms, because they were set to music and it helped them to remember the words in that association. And so this is a really effective, again, means of communicating the gospel, but also embedding the gospel into people's minds and thoughts. If you go to that next slide for me, bro. Shai Lin, that same MC, says, from the earliest records of civilization, human beings have used storytelling as a powerful tool to communicate all that is significant concerning human experience. Over time, this has included everything from the classic struggle between good and evil and a simple description of human life. See, stories, everyone's got a story, and everyone's interested in a good story, particularly if you have a good storyteller. And that's one of the things that hasn't changed historically over the past 2,000 years. And stories within the bigger story, stories within the meta-narrative, stories within, if you like, redemption history. You know, our aim is to use rap as a tool, and here we are working hard to contextualize the gospel. Now that's 20 minutes and about 5 minutes. I'm going to invite my brother Serene to come up. He's going to do a song for us.
Auntie. Hi guys, doing you alright? I'm just going to do a track called Bread of Life. As Robert said, we just use music to just put the gospel in there, and we also put the doctrine and theology in our music as well. So hope you listen. The word should be up there, and hope you're blessed by it. No words. Alright, cool. Just try and listen then.
They're still on the Mac, bro.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. Turn off a little bit. Sure. 1, 2. I might forget the lyrics because this is quite a new song and this is the first time I'm doing it, so just bear with me. Yeah. 1, 2. Cool. Look, I came to seek and save that which was lost, knowing that my blood will be the cost. I came to give my life up for all of them, for all of those the Father has chosen. And the Father's gonna pour his wrath on me, and I'ma drink the cup until it's emptied. It's gonna be for those who hate and despise me. They're blind to the eyes, see nothing nor esteem me highly. No, but my Father's gonna draw them and put them in the palm of my hands, and life will be applied when my life is at night. And the Father will say the wrath's been satisfied. Yeah, I'm the lamb to be slain by the guys that I've made, and a life I sustained. But the life will be mine, and when they die, they will gain. But until then, the cross is where I'm taking my place. Look, cause I am the bread of life, and if you eat of me, you will never die. And in my kingdom, you will reign with me, but it will cost your whole life if you follow on me, cause the world will hate you as he did to me, and they'll persecute you as he did to me. But never fear, cause I'm always right there calling my name. Look, and I am the one the Father has sent to atone for the sins of those who repent. On the life, cause it's through me the sheep will be justified, and I will live inside, and I will dwell inside them. Right, and I will sanctify the world and sanctify it, and I will glorify them when I'm glorified. But until then, there just needs to be this. And yes, I'm terrified, serving down this cup of wrath. People, listen. Yeah, I forgot the lyrics. I'll keep going. Yeah, I'll just keep going, and I'll wait for the chorus. And the chorus is now. So, yeah. Look, I am the bread of life, and if you eat of me, you will never die. And in my kingdom, you will reign with me, but it will cost your whole life if you follow me, cause the world will hate you, me, and they'll persecute you as he did to me. So, when I heard this story of Christ, I then start to ponder. This is what I thought to myself. I said, serene is my state of mind. Cause God is all alone, hung naked on a tree for the souls which are as wicked as my own, who deserve to be cast down below. Nah, and he goes and takes my place. Pause, to the epitome of grace. None could ever fathom his ways. I'm just stuck in the days as I think about the Savior in my estate. The others have to go hell, the hottest part as well as the lowest part in hell. But he still calls even though when I were failed and says to come and drink the waters from his well. Well, what's crazy about this whole thing is I was there screaming, crucify him. I put the nails in his hands, now he's going on the cross like, Dan, look towards me, man. Cause I am the bread of life, and if you eat of me, you will never die. And in my kingdom, you will reign with me, but it will cost your whole life if you follow me. Cause the world will hate you as he did to me, and they'll persecute you as he did to me. But never fear, cause I'm always right there. Call on my name and I will be right there. Yeah. Thank you.
And so we're not kind of under the illusion that any of you are going to run out and you know, sign up to the MySpace as hip hop artists and so on, but you know, in this we see that from our case study, we're just looking at a tool, rap as being a tool. It was never a means of making a name or, you know, trying to get money or anything like that, because if it was, we never done a good job. it was really just a tool, really, for gospel ministry. And also, it's a case that we were never kind of reliant on rap. And that's why we pack it with the word as much as we can and with spiritual truth, in the same way that the parables contain spiritual truth. So some things are going to be more explicit and obvious from a gospel point of view, and some things won't. Some things will be more metaphoric. And yet, nonetheless, it is such that the aim is for it to capture and captivate hearts and minds and turn them toward Christ. And it's a relational tool. As much as it contains information, and it's good for that, it's a relational tool, and we appreciate that. In like manner, there are things that, within your own context, will serve to be good relational tools. Whether it's playing football, I was chatting to Pete last night, and he's talking about he plays football with the guys, and he's got a men's night where they come and they play pool, and so on and so forth. And it's beautiful to see relational ministry that's creating opportunity for the gospel. And you know, we just want to encourage you as you're pressing on in your deprived areas. You know, we let's be hardcore on the gospel, and let's be hardcore on communicating proper content, and yet at the same time not at the expense of giving ourselves to those relational opportunities and those relational experiences. Just to sum up a couple things. We kind of had this thing going along, like, you know, rap, breaking it down as an acronym, relate, and then articulate, and so now we've come to precipitate. I don't really know what the word means. Just that it means to do something not good quickly. And so we're saying don't precipitate. Don't rush headlong into something that's going to have a negative consequence. Quickly. And for us, that meant, as we look at rap as a tool, we recognize there are certain hazards and pitfalls. You know, the moment anyone gets up in front of an audience, a congregation, a crowd, whoever, there's that potential for pride immediately. You know, whether you're rapping or you're exegeting text. And so we said, look, at the end of the day, from our point of view, we see this as a ministry endeavor and ought to be regarded with regards to ministry values and ministry principles. And so with those that we're now seeking to engage and to empower and encourage to go forth and use it as a tool, we're mindful of the need to examine one's suitability. Paul talked about knowing those that labor among you. You know, we see in the criteria, the requirements for eldership. And we say, okay, well, if this is a ministry endeavor, there are various ways in which it fits a biblical picture, whether it's as an evangelist or a ministry of helps or it's exhortation. It fits a biblical framework, and so let's have ministry values as we approach this. And so suitability as an individual, not just because they're gifted, not just because they've got the skills to really captivate an audience, but is their content on point? Is it actually consistent with the message of Scripture? What about their character? Is their character consistent with their calling and profession as a Christian? And the need for not quickly and hurriedly laying hands in endorsement upon someone. These are values that we hold and that we encourage with regards to the use of rap as a ministry tool. Also, accountability. Again, the vulnerabilities of public ministry are such that there is that need to support and to encourage and be responsible for those who are engaged in that. And yet at the same time, there needs to be that accountability, being able to kind of have guys know that, look, you know what, you guys are giving yourselves to this. And you need to be watchful. You know, you need to take heed to yourself and to your doctrine, like Paul said to Timothy. And we're going to help you to do that. And so there's a necessity for that to happen. And even as we begin to engage with others that we may not know personally who are involved in using rap as a ministry, again, we're looking with the same values to say, well, where are you guys at church? Where are you plugged in? Who can we talk to kind of just find out where you're coming from? So we're not just linking arms coming alongside in partnership with someone who actually could be a liability. And so, accountability. Finally, you know, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And inherent within that is the call to good works. And yet at the same time, implicitly there, those good works must be identified as being of the Father. And I've witnessed, I've been a Christian 24 years or something like that. And over the time, I've seen that there's been a great emphasis on social action over the years. And yet, I kind of observed that there was a point, and has been a point, where the social action didn't have a corresponding message that identified the motivation and the source of that action as being of the Father. And so it was just, as I heard one person say, making the earth a better place to go to hell from. And you're like, is that what we're about? Evidently not. And so we're going to close with a song, if that's all right. Yeah. And we'll welcome any questions and so on that you may have maybe during the lunch break, because I think it's lunch next. That's right.
Okay, check. 1, 2. I think it should be on 4. Cool. Our emphasis is on the message and not the method. And Duncan mentioned earlier about young people running up and down with weapons because they want power. One of the slides earlier talked about Jesus being known as the friend of sinners. Well, we have a few different terms for Jesus, kind of modern colloquialisms, and one of the words or the names we have for Jesus is the revolver. And what we say through this song is, you know what, you think you got power because you got a gun. You don't know nothing about power. Like Jesus standing before Pilate. Like, you can have me crucified. The power that you have came from somewhere else. It's not yours. And so we say that Jesus is the one with real power, because, check it, a gun normally takes life, but Jesus gives life. And not only does he give life as opposed to that which a gun would do, Jesus can also turn or revolve your life around. We call the Lord Jesus the revolver. Now, it says in Romans 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, says Paul, because why? It's the power of God unto salvation to those who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, the Gentile, right? Jesus changed our lives, brother. When did it happen for you?
I was 14, too. Here we go. I was 14, and I sat in the church and I heard the gospel. There was no rap then, no razzmatazz. I just heard the fact that I was going to hell, and only Jesus could save me. And that was enough for me to turn. And my life has never been the same again. And that hit me. Yeah.
The revolver hit me like a blast in the heart, and he filled the hole that I had in my soul. That's when my life started to revolve.
Yeah.
I lost control when I took a hold of the revolver.
Yeah.
He hit me like a blast in the heart, and he filled the hole that I had in my soul.
Yo,
that's when my life started to revolve.
I lost control when I took a hold of the revolver.
I had contact, ripped and transfixed stare. I felt naked, my soul was laid bare. The surroundings disappeared, my life flashed before my eyes. I realized this would be my last night alive. I knew deep down this is how it had to be. I threw my hands up and shouted, here I am, come take me. A high caliber projectile hit me, penetrated deeply, blew my mind like nitroglycerine. It left no trace of its impact upon entry, but I felt the implosion inside as it began to change me.
Strangely,
I knew that I would die. Revise my address and transfer to the other side. It made no sense trying to hide or trying to fight. The revolver fixed me firmly in his sights. He held me back to rights. I dropped to my knees, cried out, won't you save me, please? I keeled over. I'd been hit by the revolver.
The revolver hit me like a blast in the heart, and he filled the hole that I had in my soul. That's when my life started to revolve. Yo, I lost control when I took a hold of the revolver.
Jesus, hit me like a blast in the heart, and he filled the hole that I had in my soul. That's when my life started to revolve. I lost control when I took a hold of the revolver.
Yo, I tried to duck from the buck. Tried to find something to protect me, but my conscience wouldn't let me.
Nah.
I couldn't run far. I hid behind a car. He had some kind of sonar. And yo, he tracked me like a radar. And as the bullets start to splurt, the only feeling of hurt was my pride. It started to rip me up inside.
Blah.
One to the head.
Blah, blah.
Two to the chest. Made me confess all my sin and all the mess that I'd been living in. And as I lay prostrate on my face, I couldn't move, thinking I was dead, lying in pools of liquid red from head to toe. I was soaked in a crimson cloak. My life flashed before me. But wait a minute, it wasn't me bleeding. I just couldn't understand. It was the blood of another man, the blood of the lamb. No entry wounds or scars in it. I knew the game was over.
Game over.
And I'd been hit by the revolver.
The revolver hit me like a blast in the heart, and he filled the hole that I had in my soul. That's when my life started to revolve. I lost control when I took a hold of the revolver.
Because Jesus, he hit me like a blast in the heart, and he filled the hole that I had in my soul.
Yo,
that's when my life started to revolve. Yeah, I lost control when I took a hold of the revolver.
We got up and walked in reverse direction. Left that intersection in the power of his resurrection. Made ascension into the third dimension, where he ease my pain and relieved all of my tensions. Dealt with my pretensions, all my apprehensions. I have to mention, he gave me peace past comprehension. Of all my wrong deeds, he made no retention. Showed a grand plan for my life was his intention.
Oh, you mean?
My people that saw me did not recognize me. They said,
strange, this brother's changed.
And that affirmed my new ID. Because when I walked out in his shadow, I would stalk him. As I walked the narrow path,
in his shadow
I would stalk him. I saw others fought him with lies, tried to distort him. Instead of giving up, they was bigging up as they fought him. And
that?
Then with one round, I saw him take down two other men. To understand, our destiny is in the hands of the revolver.
The revolver, he hit us like a blast in the heart, and he filled the hole that we had in our souls. That's when our life started to revolve. Yo, we lost control when we took a hold of the revolver.
Jesus,
he hit us like a blast in the heart, and he filled the hole that we had in our souls.
Yo, that's when our life started to revolve. We lost control when we took a hold of the revolver. Hit me like a blast in the heart. All that I had in my soul. That's when my life started to revolve.
Yeah,
I lost control when we took a hold of the revolver. Jesus hit us like a blast in the heart.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you guys for listening. And please be sure during lunch to catch Duncan and ask him about how he used rap in Europe. Where did you go, bro? Kosovo. We went to Kosovo and just through taking some of the learning he'd been getting, I mean, unique and exceptional approach. Definitely speak to Duncan about that. Amen. Bless you guys.